Let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go.
And welcome into the Playbook for a Wednesday. Hashtag WTF Wednesday on Patriots.com radio. Like it? Well, that was the one that Kevin and I picked, so that's what we're going with. What's the focus Wednesday?
Careful.
Yeah, wait a second.
Careful now.
Yeah, I know. And guess who's here today?
Yeah.
Escal himself, because they've screwed up
cameo.
All of your... Yeah, I like this. I'm excellent. This
I
is
had
great.
To come and thank you for the... And Robin, for the tremendous cranberry bread surprise that
Thank
I got
you.
This morning.
Thank you. I want you to know that she appreciates that. I especially appreciate it because when she bakes for you guys, she bakes for me.
Mm.
So I'm all for her baking for you guys, trust me. And I think she loves the fact that you love it. In fact, Fred and obviously Andy and Paul are the same way about it, and Kevin as well. So Fred and I asked me last night, we were kind of emailing back and forth, and he said, that would be really cool to feature the whole story behind putting this together on our lifestyle page. So look for Miss Robin's cranberry bread recipe on the Patriots.com lifestyle page very soon.
She's going to be willing to give that up?
She's going to give it up.
Wow.
She's going to give it up.
Wow.
I will admit, though, that there is one secret ingredient.
Oh, that's not going to put in there?
That I don't think is going to make it in there.
Love. She bakes it with love.
Well,
right?
It's a four-letter word. I don't think it's love. And you're not going to like it when I tell you what it is. I'm going to tell
lard.
You right now. Yeah, Kevin just said it.
I didn't hear him.
Say it again, Kev.
Lard.
Oh.
It's just, what do you want me to tell you? It's good stuff, man.
Lard from the junior broadcaster.
All right, now.
No, we don't have to go
down.
We don't have to go that specific.
Calm down.
I have to go that specific. Let me say this. All things in moderation are fine in life. I'm of the opinion. Mm. All things in moderation. You don't go overboard. And it's got fresh cranberries in it straight from our backyard. And it's fantastic.
It is.
She does a great job with it. And so if you really are interested in trying it yourself, just so I don't, really piss her off and say, well, now you got to bake 700 of them for people who are listening to the show. The recipe will be up on the lifestyle page here very soon. So check back. I'll let you know. In fact, I'll send out a tweet when it's up. How's that? So you got to follow me now at JR Broadcaster because
already
that's
did.
Just the way it is. I know. Thank you very much for that. Had a lot of good followers on
what
Twitter.
What are you up
lately.
To now?
Almost 2,500. I'm grudgingly get there.
Mm.
I was hoping to get 3K by the end of the season.
Yeah, because last year the push was for
2K.
2K, right?
Now the push needs to be for 3K.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm getting enough response to get to 3K, mm-hmm. at least at the present rate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that, some of our peeps here will help mm-hmm. a guy out.
All right.
Just so I can get into the respectability class, and get to 3K overall. So, yep, that's how you reach us here in the program, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter. Thank you very much for the follows. You want to do Facebook, you can do that as well. John.Rook on Facebook. If you haven't submitted a friend request, please do so. And then you can post and we can chat during the show. I was going to say something about that. If you really want to see some of the cranberry photos, I've got an album, a photo album up of the harvest that took place last week.
In your bog backyard?
Mm-hmm, in my bogged backyard, yes. They are up there, so you can do that. And, of course, the regular phone line, 855-PATS-500, toll-free number, 855-PATS-500, and the email, webradio@patriots.com. Now, this being WTF Wednesday, focus is going to clearly start with the Buffalo Bills, and we're going to start talking about that here in just a couple of moments.
On to Buffalo.
Yes, it's hashtag on to Buffalo, exactly. There's no doubt about that. And it'll be that way every week. Next week it'll be on to New York and that kind of stuff. So we will deal with the Buffalo Bills. However, in light of something that came about last night, And I don't know how many Patriots fans are aware of this. If you live in New England, you might have seen it. You might have heard it. Considering that I think the overwhelming majority of our listeners here generally don't live in New England, I'm going to point this out to you. You can go look at it. Kevin's going to play it in a moment. But our one and only Troy Brown, yes, number 80, had some poignant comments, I thought, on the whole relationship dynamic between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Now, we've spent quite a bit of time here over the course of the last week or two, especially in light of the fact of the season taking a downward turn. You have to admit it. That's the way it's gone. It has not met anybody's expectations until this last week in Cincinnati, which turned out to be a pleasant surprise. It's kind of like, oh, now that's more like it. And I think maybe, Eric, and you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, maybe our expectations were just too doggone high this year.
Maybe. And quickly, just let me add.
Go ahead.
I don't think they're as bad as they were in Kansas City. I don't think they're as good a team
as they were against Cincinnati. I'm with you 110%. We're not going to argue on that.
The truth is somewhere in the middle.
Exactly. And that's, I happen to agree. And it doesn't make good talk show fodder, but I happen to agree. Now, that having been said, many of our fans here listening, those who email, those who call, those who tweet, those who Facebook, they're upset with general manager Bill, as opposed to Coach Bill, because GM Bill seems to be hamstringing Coach Bill with what not only we think he'd like to do, but what we see as what he'd like to do. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's been the case for a while now, I think.
And, of course, we've seen Tom Brady over the course of the last couple of weeks show more and more of his frustration, whether he's walking to the sideline or he's not congratulating Jimmy Garoppolo on a, you know, garbage time touchdown against the Chiefs or whatever it may be. There seems to be, dare I say, a bit of malcontent to his demeanor. I think it's frustration more than anything else, but hey, look who's on ESPN right now.
Oh, yeah.
Our boy Rodak.
Yeah, he did a hit in the last hour, too.
Sorry, I would not have interrupted my own thought and digressed, as we always do. First of all, you bring out the digression in me. I think it's your presence here. Second of all, he's over your left shoulder, and there's his face, big and huge on SportsCenter.
Well, he's a big dude.
He's a big timer.
Yeah.
He's also 6'6", or 6'5", isn't he?
6'4".
Yeah. All right. By the way, Mike Rodak will be on our program tomorrow here in the playbook. So he's going to lower himself to come down to us. But, you know, he's only a 23-year-old fresh out of Providence College.
Basically, yeah, right.
We taught him well.
Still got the baby face.
I know. That's what we were just talking about. We're just talking about. Look, and he's talking. He's doing a talk back with,
good salad
with Linda Cohn. Mm. And Linda Cohn has been there longer than he's been alive.
That's true. Linda Cohn could be his mother.
All right, now.
It's true, though.
It's true. It's true. Sad but true. And she actually looks pretty good for someone who's been there as long as she
just
has.
Saying, she looked like
she's
got also, a fastball back.
I also respect her ability to be a journalist. I think she does a pretty good job of, you know, reading the sports news and all that stuff. All right, we're digressing. Now let me get back to my original point on Tom Brady. We have talked about how Brady needs to kind of, in a lot of ways, suck it up, okay? Mm-hmm. And again, I'm paraphrasing here, and I think many of our fans also agree with that. However, I would say that most of our fans, and please correct me if I'm wrong, and I know you will. You're good at this. I think most of our fans would take Brady's side in this argument as opposed to Bill Belichick's side. And they're really, I don't know if there's necessarily a side to take, but let's just say if push came to shove, they want to see Brady helped, and they want Bill to help him. So this puts Patriots management in a sort of a unique conundrum, having to keep the star franchise slash future Hall of Fame quarterback happy, potentially for another shot at a championship, or B, continue with what you know to be successful over the course of the last 15 years since Bill Belichick came to New England to be the head coach and de facto general manager. This puts the Kraft family in a rather unique tight spot. Call it a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Rock and a hard place. Now, Troy Brown, as I was about to say, last night on CSNNE gave a unique perspective on what he thinks the Crafts might do if push came to shove. Give a listen.
Pretty much choice as the owner of this team right now, because I think you're kind of right there, because Kraft is not going to step on Belichick's toes, especially with all the success he's had doing things his way.
So Belichick stays,
but
Brady
if
goes.
Put it that way, you know, and you look at it, I've been around here a long time. I've seen a lot of things happen. I'm not Kraft anymore. I'm Troy Brown right now, by the way. But I've seen a lot of things happen, a lot of things go down, and nothing's really going to surprise me about the way anything goes down around here, even with Tom Brady.
All right, so kind of making everything a little bit concise, Troy largely believes that if the Crafts had to make a choice between sticking with the status quo or potentially, you know, siding with the quarterback and building up the team around him, they're going to side with the coach. They're going to side with Belichick over Tom Brady. And I should also add that we mentioned this briefly in yesterday's program here on Nitpick Tuesday, that Michael Silver did a column on NFL.com, and he quoted former Patriot, now Denver Bronco, Aqib Talib, as agreeing with the fact that there's no way that the Patriots would ever side with Tom Brady in this particular instance. Talib's quote, "Yeah, they got their way of doing things in New England. That's Bill's way. They've been successful this long. I don't see why they change it. Tom's poised. He's a professional. He ain't going to cry about it. I ain't got no weapons, and Peyton's got weapons. He'll just play. And, man, they'll probably win the division and be in the playoffs again." Well, the conclusion was that if the Patriots play like they did Sunday night against Cincinnati, he may get his wish. But if the Patriots don't, then you might see Brady playing for a different coach in 2015. And that was on NFL.com yesterday. And then Troy said what he said last night. So my question to you is, Pats fans who are listening here today, whether you're listening live or you are listening on the podcast, and feel free to sound off on your opinion, whether it's live or not, because I'll take the time to read them all. If you want to send me a tweet or you want to send me a Facebook when we're off the air of the program here. Who do you side with? Quite simple. Who do you side with? Are you in Bill Belichick's corner here and his way of doing things? And it may not necessarily be what you want to see him do, which would be, like I said earlier, averse to what we've talked about here with each other on this show. You want to see GM Bill step up and support his quarterback. And I've explained to you he's done it this way for 15 years. I'm not so sure it's going to change. And basically, Troy Brown has backed me up on that with his statement last night on CSNNE. And that if push came to shove and Bob Kraft, Mr. Kraft, had to make a decision between staying with the coach or making his quarterback happy, he's going to stay with the coach. And that might mean Tom Brady moving on. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. I want you to pick up the phone as well, 855-PATS-500. And that's going to be a good part of our focus here, at least initially, on WTF Wednesday here in Patriots Playbook. Do you agree with that? Do you think? What do you think?
I don't necessarily agree with Troy Brown.
Okay, tell me why.
I think Brady means so much, more so than Bledsoe did, to this organization, to this region. And I think more people, I think there's more of an emotional tie between the Crafts and Brady than there is the Crafts and Belichick. And I think if push came to shove and he was given an ultimatum, I think it would be a really difficult for ownership, the family, to say, we're going to get rid of this guy that we're so close to. Also, I think we saw this happen in Denver a while back. Denver, as you know, was the long time, get to the Super Bowl, can't win it, get blown out. Then Mike Shanahan comes along, does some things. They win a couple of Super Bowls with John Elway. And not too long thereafter, they waved goodbye to Mike Shanahan. Did they not?
They did.
Because he was being too stubborn in his ways. He thought everything he did was the right thing and wasn't, you know, allowing outside influences or other opinions to affect team-related decisions. And ownership finally decided, hey, you know what? This is not the direction we want to go in. And I think more so than ever, Belichick is getting more criticized for his, not just his GM decisions, which I think have been happening for a while now. Mm-hmm. But now I think people are starting to take a close look at the product he's putting on the field and questioning some of the things that he's doing there. And if that were to keep up a little bit more, I think the Crafts could be justified in saying, you know what? And it might be time for another voice here. And we still have an affection for our quarterback, and we still think he's in top physical condition for someone his age. Look at Manning, for example. You surround him with some talent, he still looks like he could lead a team to a championship. I'm not so convinced that the Crafts would automatically side with the head coach.
Well, I would also argue that Mike Shanahan is no Bill Belichick. So in that, I think one
of the best coaches.
I respect
though,
his ability and his knowledge
of this generation.
But
no?
I'm not sure that he applies things the same way that Belichick does. Maybe there's a disconnect there for me, but I don't see it. He has had some success. It's true. And I just don't know that he, I get the impression that he's a bit more caustic, if that's even possible, than Bill Belichick is. I don't think he rules with, and has ever ruled with absolute authority as Bill Belichick has here over the course of the last decade and a half. Now, it may very well be that you're right, that's one of the reasons why he was let go, because they got tired of his shtick. I don't know that the Crafts are that kind of a personality, where they would ever get tired of anybody's shtick as long as their business is doing well. And you could make the argument that the business, in Shanahan's case, was not doing well.
Mm.
And I think that therein lies the difference. I see your point, and I think it's actually a very good point, and it gives you pause to think about that, because you're right. And frankly, there's nothing better, really. I think the perfect scenario here is somewhere in the middle. You were talking about this a little while ago. The answer is always somewhere in the middle. The answer here would be to bring in another voice, to bring in a Scott Pioli type, because I don't know that Nick Caserio does that.
No, but I also don't think Belichick would stick around for that at this point.
And therein lies the problem, okay? Eric, therein lies the problem. You know, if you're going to continue to evolve in the industry, then you need to stay up with the times. And I think we're seeing where less and less one-man meritocracies, if you will, are, you know, the rule rather than the exception. I don't think that's the case anymore in the NFL. I don't see that. I mean, you know, Mike Holmgren is a pretty good coach, pretty good GM, lasted okay for a little while for him. Where is he now? So I kind of liken it to he never really adapted to the way things were going and the way things were trending. You know, in our business, we have to trend to this whole multimedia, you know, digital thing, which we have to do. And
yeah, you're trying to hit 3K on Twitter.
I'm trying to hit 3K on Twitter. That's exactly right. But we're on the phones here with people. We're doing radio. We're doing text, and we're doing it. We're doing print. We're doing everything, right? We're doing TV. Mm-hmm. We're doing everything here. Okay.
Multimedia.
Yes. Bill Belichick isn't doing everything. It's his way or the highway.
Yeah. And that's kind of why I think there comes a point where that might not work anymore.
Which is why I bring up the argument today, because I think Troy is onto something. I do believe that, you know, I think the Crafts would side with Belichick. And that's also a change that I think that the Crafts need to recognize.
And I see your and Troy's point on that. I just don't think it's as cut and dried as Troy made it sound. Troy made it sound like no question.
They would side with Belichick over Brady.
I don't think it's no question. I think there's a question.
Well, I think because the Crafts have been fans, you know, the long season ticket holders before they bought the team, you know, 21 years ago now, that I think the fan in them would certainly say, well, yeah, we can see it. We can see the opportunity here. And, yes, this is also a business, but do we really want to stray from what has gotten us to where we are now? That, you know,
the fact is
they bought a franchise for $200 million or less than that, actually, you know, 21 years ago. And now it's worth over $2
billion. But here's the thing.
A pretty good investment.
Here's the thing. And it's a classic argument that we've had many times on the other show. Is the success more to do with the head coach or the quarterback? And you could argue that the head coach had a track record before here where when he didn't have the quarterback, he didn't succeed. When he did have the quarterback, he succeeded. So you might think the success is more dependent on, for this team anyway, the quarterback, which would be a reason to stick with the quarterback if push came to shove.
Right. Right.
I just
don't think the Crafts would do that.
Unless you believe that the guy they drafted this past year is in fact Andrew Luck-like or Steve Young-like, and they think, well, okay, we can keep the coach and his hard-headedness if we've got another quarterback.
What is Troy Brown's favorite saying? Bingo?
Yeah.
I got bingo. Mm. Okay, you just bingoed. That's exactly right. I think the Crafts realize that they do have the heir apparent.
They might.
In tow.
They might,
which is even more of a reason why I believe they would side with GM / Emperor Belichick as opposed to making sure that, you know, their Hall of Fame to be quarterback Tom Brady has another real opportunity to win a championship.
It's a tough call. I'm just saying it's a tough call, John. I don't think it's a slam dunk.
Well, I want to know what our fans think of it today, because the overwhelming majority, again, to sort of recap here, the overwhelming majority of our fans want to see Bill adjust. There's no doubt. All the criticism is with GM Bill. You got to go out and get pieces to the puzzle to place around Tom Brady. Okay, you got to have the corner pieces, cornerstones that this puzzle right now does not have. Or is struggling to put together. And yet, GM Bill, and backed by the Crafts, is still methodically continuing on his path because it has had success for him over 15 years, largely. And it's really hard to argue the track record. 5 Super Bowls, 3 championships. It's, you know, 3 straight appearances in the AFC Championship. It's hard to argue the track record. So I can understand why someone would want to stay that course. But do you stay the course? Do you prefer the more conservative route? Or do you have the presence of mind to see the big picture here and push yourself into the 21st century, go digital, whatever analogy you want to use here, right? And see that your window of time is falling short, and all we need is 1 or 2 pieces here to make Tom happy, to make the offense zing, and to get us under the trophy. Because that, in the long run, and this is what I think, in the long run, the trophy is going to mean more than any saving, you know, $6 million or whatever it is on the salary cap, because that's forever.
And I think they desperately want another one.
Okay. Well,
I really do.
I'm not sure they want it. I'm not sure I agree with you.
You don't think they want to win another Super Bowl?
No, I'm not sure that they want to mortgage what they're doing.
I didn't say
right
that.
Now
I didn't say
for
that.
A shot at getting another trophy.
I didn't say that. I said I think they desperately want one. I'm not saying that that's the way they were going to go about it, but I'm saying I think they desperately have wanted one, especially since 2007, which everybody thought that was a guarantee.
And how much?
And that would have been an historic.
Oh, there's no
an
question.
Historic.
They would have gone.
They were
down
this close to being the
best team of all time.
Of all time. And I think that's eaten at this ownership since then.
So then why wouldn't the sense of urgency, why?
Because they gave the head coach the benefit of the doubt that his way worked all those other times, and then they got back to a Super Bowl against the same team that beat them again.
But the problem
so they
here,
kept
Eric,
giving him the benefit of the doubt, and he
here,
kept
Eric,
succeeding.
The problem here, Eric, is they haven't stepped on anybody's toes on the football side. They haven't said, we really want to win this, so here's the money, go do it. You know, we want you to go get, you know, an Andre Johnson, for lack of a better phrase. And I'm not saying they're going to
get
him.
No, I know what you mean.
We want you to go get.
What are
the
pieces that you need here? Go get them. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Right. Obviously, you got to play within the rules. You got to be on the cap. You got to do all that stuff. But, you know, here is
an opportunity. I know what you're saying.
Here is an opportunity. Okay?
I just don't think it's a slam dunk either way. Quarterback or head coach. I don't think it's an easy decision, and I don't think it's a guarantee.
Well, I want our fans, I want you to play the Crafts. Who are you siding with in this particular issue? You know, you've always wanted to be GM. You've always wanted to be an owner. You get a chance to do that for a very short period inside the Patriots playbook today on hashtag WTF Wednesday.
Careful how you use that.
It's what's the focus.
I know.
What's the focus, right?
Just don't say it too fast.
It's the internet. All right. So once again, 855-PATS-500. That's toll free, 855-PATS-500. Email is webradio@patriots.com. Twitter @JRBroadcaster. John.Rook on Facebook. I'm going to give you a couple of moments to think about it. And then what we're going to do is come back and give you the microphone. Field Yates is also going to join us, ESPN NFL insider. Might get his thoughts on this subject as well. And then we'll also be turning our attention to the Buffalo Bills here very shortly. But because of what was said by Troy last night, I just said, you know what?
Yeah.
Can't let this go, because here's a player. And Aqib Talib was quoted in the NFL.com piece as well, as saying that, you know, it's Bill's way. And then they're going to side with Bill. The Crafts would side with Bill. Eric says he's not so sure. What do you say? That's all up for discussion this afternoon right here in the Patriots Playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the whole entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the day.
Since Big E needs to go get some writing done, we thought we'd take advantage of this opportunity here in studio a little early.
How am I doing this year so far?
You're stumping me, and you're stumping Robin, too.
That's why I know I'd be stumping you. I'm more concerned about the missus back home.
Wow, yeah. She's like, I don't think that's a real
word. She's
the
brains of the operation.
I know. I don't think that's a real word. You tell him to come up with better stuff than that. So.
And then she looks it up and says, oh, you know what? He was right, doesn't she?
I'm going to withhold.
Right, because you have to go home tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for the cranberry bread, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that earlier.
All right. See if you got one.
Tendentious.
Tendentious?
Mm-hmm.
T-E-N-D-E-N-C-I-O-U-S?
Mm-hmm. Yes, half correct.
Okay.
That's one spelling. There's an alternate spelling with a T.
T-I-O-U-S.
Either way is acceptable.
Tendentious.
Though. Yes.
Okay. And
take a stab.
I would say that would be someone who, let's say if someone's being tendentious, they're probably being cautious?
No, I see why you were saying that, but no, that's not it.
Okay.
It's to when you're saying, writing, or expressing an opinion that's specifically intended to promote a particular cause or point of view.
Got it. All right. That certainly makes sense. Sure.
So if you want to try to tie it in, Troy Brown's comments last night could be taken as tendentious for Bill Belichick.
Right. Because he's
intending to promote the point of view that
Bill
the head
Belichick
coach
is the emperor.
Yeah.
And will remain the emperor in the Kraft size.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it'd be a tendentious point of view.
Yeah.
Understood. Okay.
Yeah. All or right. Like another example, whenever I talk about animal welfare,
right.
I do so with those are tendentious comments that I make because, as you know, I'm starting
promoting that.
I'm
right.
Promoting my own.
How's it
charity.
Going, by the way?
Still waiting for the government to get off its backside and give me the approval. But I knew that was going to, we knew going in that it would take probably at least 6 months to hear back from them. So
sure.
That's why we filed in June and are hoping by the end of the calendar year we hear something.
Give the website again.
Well, the site is not up yet. But the name of the organization is Nutmeg Animal Welfare. The website will be nawinc.com.
Okay.
But still waiting.
Good. All right.
Still waiting.
Keep us posted.
Will do.
All right, buddy. Go get your job done,
I guess,
if you must. All right. As we talked about, going to welcome in Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider, into the playbook. Field, how's it going today?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
Excellent. Wondered if you, part of what we're getting ready to talk about today, in addition to the Buffalo Bills, and I'll get your thoughts on that in a moment, but wonder if you might comment on, which is a conversation that's been sort of ongoing and leading up to this point, sort of exacerbated a little bit last night. I don't know if you heard about what Troy Brown said on Comcast Sportsnet New England or not, but he said that if push came to shove, and I'm paraphrasing here, that if the Krafts were forced to make a decision between staying the course with Bill Belichick or siding with their quarterback Tom Brady, they would be in Belichick's corner. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think it's probably a situation that's never going to arise. So that's the fortunate part for Patriots fans and really the Kraft family. But I think if you look at just the position that each is in some ways we know kind of what the shelf life can be on a player, not just Tom Brady or a quarterback, but a player. Eventually, age catches up to them. We have seen coaches have successful tenures late into their 60s, early 70s, or even early 80s, like Marv Levy. I mean, think about this fact. If I'm not mistaken, Pete Carroll is the second oldest coach in the NFL right now. I believe he's 62 years old, only behind Tom Coughlin. Between Tom Coughlin, Bill Belichick, and Pete Carroll, you have arguably three of the maybe five best coaches in the NFL, and they're also the three oldest. So based off the fact that they have longevity on their side and they can really coach until they feel like not coaching anymore, I think you'd be hard-pressed to argue against Bill Belichick.
Yeah, and I sort of agree with that. Eric's point was that, the Krafts are fans enough to understand that they realize the window of opportunity is very short here. And based on, for instance, an example using Mike Shanahan and his situation a couple of years ago, ownership decided to go with, the players rather than the coach, which they thought was taking the team a different direction that they wanted to go. And they ended up letting him go. I don't think that happens in this particular instance, but I certainly see the argument.
Yeah, I mean, I understand both sides of the coin from the emotional standpoint. Certainly, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are a big part of what the Patriots franchise has become over the past 15 years. I think at the end of the day, though, you have to be sort of practical in these situations and which one gives you more long-term value. I think the answer is pretty clear. It's the coach.
Over winning another trophy, another championship, which could have the most long-term value. You follow what I'm saying?
I guess I don't look at it that way. I don't look at it as you're going to win you're choosing between the coach and the trophy. I think if the question is, if you had to choose one of the two, the coach or the quarterback, I understand the coach argument. Listen, there's no guarantee. If you can be guaranteed a trophy, I think you're automatically taking that over the prospect of not getting a trophy. But at the same time, I think the bottom line here, fortunately for all of us, is that this is not a situation we're going to see at any point pop up.
Right. All right. Very good. I appreciate that because it's really sort of an interesting, almost a chicken or egg proposition, really.
Yeah, it really is.
But at the same time, you can certainly make a strong argument that without a quarterback, Bill Belichick doesn't have the success that he's had.
Yeah, you know something? That's a debate everybody seems to want to have, whether it's friends, family, people who read your stuff, listen to your stuff, watch you on TV, whatever it is. I just don't think that it's really fair to say that Tom Brady wouldn't be a great quarterback without Bill Belichick as his coach. I also don't think it's fair to say that Bill Belichick wouldn't be successful without Tom Brady as his quarterback. It simply doesn't work that way. I look at it this way. Each of them is within the top three at their job of anybody who's ever done their job in the history of football. That's my opinion. I think Patriots fans, rather than trying to figure out or decipher who deserves more of the credit, just be happy that you have both on your side.
Right. All right. I think that was very well put. Maybe that's why you graduated from, you know, where you were with us, you know, lowly people here to, you know, the four-letter network.
Yeah. Come on. Let's not play that game now.
All right. Let's talk about the Buffalo Bills. They've got to be feeling pretty good about themselves, especially over this last week and getting a big win on the road and maybe a little bit of a vindication of sort for defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz, who spent, you know, 5 years in Detroit. And a lot of people think he got the shaft, so to speak. Get that? Ford, shaft, you know.
There you go.
You understand where I'm going with that, right? Okay. Very poorly done, but I'm not big time like you, so I don't know. Here's the thing. They're 3-2. The Patriots are 3-2. They've got a better than advertised or better than you really thought defense that should provide, at least to my estimation, enough of a problem for the Patriots offense coming in.
Oh, it's going to be a difficult team to go against. No doubt about it. I think that the Bills, if you look at their run defense, might be the best in all of football right now. You look at the last three starting running backs that have gone against the Bills, and let's go back 3 weeks. Donald Brown, 31 carries, 60 yards. That was also 15 carries and 7 yards after halftime. He had 7 runs for 0 or negative yards in that week 3 second half. Then you go back to Arian Foster in week 4, 8 carries, 6 yards. Not great. Obviously, he also wasn't necessarily 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And this past week, before he got hurt, Reggie Bush, 6 carries, 13 yards. Clearly, this Buffalo run defense is legitimate for the Patriots, who just kind of got the run game going. It's going to be a terrific test.
Yeah, and last year they, you know, had, I think they were second in the league in sacks, so they've kind of picked up where they left off. They can put pressure on the quarterback. They can stop the run. You know, to me it seems to be a pretty good challenge for an offensive line that's still in its, shall we say, formative stages in New England.
It'll be a very good test. I think we saw from the Patriots on Sunday night, it was certainly encouraging. You have to wonder if that'll be the line combination for the most part that they stick with, even when Cameron Fleming gets healthy, because he was the starter before he got injured. Granted, it was only a one-game tenure, but he was the player the Patriots tabbed to go at right guard on Monday night against the Kansas City Chiefs. But I get the sense that perhaps if and when Cameron Fleming gets healthy in the next few weeks here, he'll still be a backup to Ryan Wendell, because Wendell, we know what his strengths are, we know what his weaknesses are, he's obviously undersized. But man, did he play well on Sunday night. He's a player that, at the very least, is reliable, can win with technique, and can also win with power more often than I think people give him credit for.
And the other interesting thing that might not be as prevalent to Patriots fans anyway is that while New England has done a good job in the giveaway-takeaway ratio and backup tied for the lead in the NFL, they're tied with, ta-da, Buffalo, 10 takeaways on the season. So they can strip the ball from you as well.
Yeah, they sure can. This is a ball disruption team. And I think that you know, the Patriots understand the value of turnovers. We saw last week basically what can happen when they take care of the football and take it away from the opposing team. They generated the first sack of Cincinnati Bengals, and that, not the first turnover, but I believe maybe the first interception of Cincinnati Bengals last week as well. So, you know, this has been a much improved defensive unit, I think, throughout the course of the year. We also really saw it on Sunday night, when they actually a complimentary game.
Sure. Now, the Patriots defensively haven't been slouches themselves, with a couple of notable exceptions this year, but statistically, they're up there pretty close to where Buffalo is in all of the league rankings, especially mentioned the takeaways and the giveaways, what have you. I wonder, however, if it really isn't going to boil down to which team's offense can generate the most against the stout defense. Kyle Orton is brand new, and I don't want to say he's brand new overall. Clearly, he's with his fifth NFL team, but he's moved into the starting role as they've kind of done, they've kind of put E.J. Manuel to the side a little bit to allow him maybe to learn perhaps a little bit more. I don't know that they've decided to give up on him, and maybe you could even shed some light on that, but, you know, Kyle Orton came out like gangbusters in his debut last week and leading his team to a W. So, you know, here is some familiarity as well because he had some success under then head coach Josh McDaniels in Denver when he was the quarterback in Denver. So I think the Patriots should know what to expect out of Orton.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, with different system, new personnel around him, but I do think that Kyle Orton's a player that stabilizes the Bills offense. They hadn't had a 300-yard passer since 2012, I believe it was November of 2012, before last Sunday. So certainly the issue, I'm not going to say it's entirely remedied, but it got better for the Buffalo Bills. The passing offense looks much better. They've got some explosive weapons. And then Kyle Orton is much more than just a game manager. He's a superior option to E.J. Manuel. And he's a player that I'm not going to say should strike fear of the Patriots, but certainly can do some damage when he has time and space to throw it.
And because there is some familiarity there, and McDaniels, you know, had his best success in Denver when Orton was the quarterback, don't you think that that would give at least the Patriots defense a little bit of an idea as to what they should probably do defense? Because you want to take something away from these guys. Now, Buffalo also has a very strong run game. We know that. They've got Sammy Watkins, one of the outstanding young receivers, at least he's proving to be thus far right now as the start of the season. Looks like there could be a great potential matchup with him and Darrell Revis in the backfield. My question really is, what do you take away here?
I think you have to take away the running game. I think clearly the passing game was better last week, but clearly the running game, and we don't know Fred Jackson's status for Sunday as of yet. Obviously got banged up in week 5. You have to take away the running game if you can. I think the Patriots aim to do that. I think that the Bills have some good young offensive linemen that make it difficult to neutralize their running game. But I think the Patriots are going to focus on that as we enter week 6.
I would also suggest that offensively the Patriots probably, even though Buffalo's pretty stout against the run, they still need to make sure that that's established in some form or fashion, does it not?
Sure, absolutely. As always, every week.
All right. Thanks, Field. Appreciate the time, buddy.
You bet, as always.
Thanks. Field Yates, again, ESPN NFL insider, joining us here for a little bit on Patriots playbook. All right, so I want to get back to, you know, our original topic here on whether or not you kind of side with the coach or the player or the owner or whatever it may be in terms of the whole issue of where do we go from here? Do you continue with the way things Bill Belichick has laid out over the last 15 years? Or do you really think that the Kraft should say, look, we've got a close window, the window that's closing here with Tom Brady around his career, we need to go for it now. Now, my thought was that many of you would decide to go for it now. And I think that perhaps Eric Scalavino would agree with that. I'm not so sure that's the case. I'll get to as many phone calls as I can. We'll answer emails and tweets as well as Facebook posts. So just hang in there. We'll start it off with Justin in Virginia. Justin, thanks for hanging on. You're in the playbook.
Hey, what's going on, John?
Hi, Justin.
First off, I want to address both your points. The game, right after I address your coach versus quarterback, I think what Robert Kraft would try to do would be to try to make everyone happy. And if Bill proposed maybe trading Tom Brady or cutting Tom Brady, Robert Kraft would maybe then go to Brady and say, hey, look, don't freak out, but would you like to possibly go to another team? We're going to try and make this as easy or whatever as possible, but I don't think Robert Kraft would just lean one way specifically. I think he would try to do what's best for the team. But I do believe that Robert Kraft does think that change, possibly unnecessarily or possibly early, is the wrong thing. I think he believes that when you change for the sake of change, bad things happen. And I think he would want to wait till things are obvious that there's a need for a change to change. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, I understand. I think the ability to be an effective leader, I think the ability to be an effective owner, management, what have you, is the ability to recognize that change needs to be made.
But I think as of now, and honestly, for years back, I think this is what has needed to happen. I think you got Brady, you got an amazing coach in Bill Belichick, but the third power is missing. And this isn't as strong as the other two powers, but the GM. I think Bill is a very below average GM. And I think from the time he got this team to what this team is now, around Tom Brady, it's not as talented. It's not as talented. He's known for his parade of horribles on the defense. And now he's kind of infectious on the offense a little bit. And he seems to harbor these players and overpay and re-sign these players like Hooman, Arrington, Connolly, Wendell, Amendola, LaFell, who aren't that, they aren't that great.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them aren't worth either guaranteed money or the amount of guaranteed money you gave them. And I think we really need to get like a GM, just an average GM. Now I'm not sure we can get that right now. I'm not sure that's available to us. I often questioned that was available to us over the past 2 years, but I think that's what has needed to happen.
Okay.
When Brady will be done, I think it's less than 3 years. It's either 3 years or less. I think that's Brady's time. I don't think he's going to be done next year. I think 2 years is kind of iffy. I think 3 years would probably be definite.
Well, he's got 3 years left on his deal.
Yeah, yeah, and that might actually work out positively for us. But as for...
I would tend to believe right now that he won't make it to the end of his deal.
Yeah.
That's just my impression.
I'm not saying I know, but I'm just saying that's how I feel. But as for the Buffalo game, I think it's our game to win if we don't try to get too cute. What I mean by cute is just do things the way you did in Cincinnati. Your back was against the wall. You knew what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know what to do against this Bills team. We're going to blow them out by like 20 or 30 points if you just do what you need to do. It's your game to win. You're more talented. You're a better team. It's your thing.
You're kind of underestimating Buffalo's defense, though, aren't you?
A little bit. But I think their defense is a little overrated. I think their front seven is great, but their secondary,
But do you have the receivers, though, to match up with that secondary and get an advantage? You got to get by that front seven first. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm just saying you got to get by that front seven first. So if you don't get by the front seven, the secondary is moot. In fact, if you don't get by the front seven, you can make an argument the secondary is great because you can't even get to them to test them.
You're very correct. But my point is, LaFell in that Chiefs game, I don't think LaFell's a very good receiver. But I think receivers like LaFell, who are below average, in my opinion, thrive in secondaries like what the Chiefs currently are now and what the Bills are. Remember when Danny Amendola had pretty much his best game here?
Yep.
Against the Bills secondary?
Yep.
They weren't that good. And I just feel like, okay, all they really got over you is the seven and whatever. I don't think their offense, I think their offense is shifty. I don't believe in Kyle Orton. Orton, I'm sorry, beating us. But
he did do that when he was at Denver, when he had Josh McDaniels as head coach. He beat the Patriots. Just
good point.
You need to go back to that one. That's why I'm again just playing devil's advocate here with you. You're making good points, Justin, but there's another side to the story, as there always is every time. Thank you very much for the phone call. Let's get Walt in Georgia up next. Walt, you're in the playbook.
Thank you. From Marietta, Georgia. By the way, I go back a long way. I'm in Marietta now, in Boston.
Yep.
I remember when the Patriots couldn't even get a field goal in a game. That was in the 70s or late 60s. So to see them score is phenomenal. Now, I was at Harvard Stadium. I had a neighbor that had a pass to Harvard, and I saw when Joe Capp came over from Minnesota to the Patriots, and the excitement in the stadium. They had every reporter in Boston, I think, that was, you know, talking to Joe Capp, so that brought excitement. Now, as you know, Bill Belichick is an economics grad from Wesleyan, and he understands value and supply and demand. Now, quarterbacks with Brady's capability, a few and far between. And I would think, depending on what happens this year, there are two teams that will give a couple of first rounds and others, and they come to mind that have great defenses, good teams. Think of the Houston Texans.
Sure.
What they're lacking is a great quarterback. And they have a former Patriots coach. Think about the Arizona Cardinals. They're taking the Seahawks and the 49ers to the end. What if they had a Brady coming in? I see if it doesn't work out this year and Brady doesn't think there's going to be a Super Bowl and they still have to get by the Denver Broncos, I think it makes sense to trade Brady, and I would think that Kraft and Belichick and Brady would sit down together. It won't be one of these in the night, you're going. I think they would sit down together, and I think they have to do that because he's been phenomenal for the franchise. So I see Brady, the future, possibly the Texans or the Cardinals will be a great fit, and it all depends on what happens this year.
I'd actually see the Texans, yes, but more than the Cardinals, I'd see the Oakland Raiders because that's closer to his home.
No, they sold a house in California.
But that's still where he's from.
Okay, but the Raiders are going nowhere. They just don't have a team.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You're talking about someone who'd be in the twilight of his career.
Oh, I don't think that's going to matter because they have, they have a big apartment in New York City.
Well, it's all subjective anyway, Walt. We don't know that it's going to happen or not.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think within 2 years he'll be playing with some good team, and I would think the Houston.
So you think then that clearly,
and so would the Arizona Cardinals.
All right, so clearly then you think that the Krafts would side with Belichick over Brady.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, Belichick can coach for another 5 to 10 years. Brady has about a 2 to 3 max window at best.
Okay. I happen to agree with that.
He doesn't get behind the line.
Right.
They don't improve the offensive line. At most, it'll be 2 years.
Right. And I happen to agree with that. Thank you for the phone call. Let's get to Trey in Memphis. And next, Trey, thanks for hanging in. You're on the playbook.
Hey, how's it going, John?
Good, Trey.
How did we get to this point? I mean, what's going on? I mean, what is Troy Brown? I mean, who is Troy Brown? I mean, I know he's.
Wait a second. You really going to ask me that question? What do you mean, who is Troy Brown?
I know
he's in the Patriot Hall of Fame, Trey.
Yeah, that's the Patriot Hall of Fame. I mean, but, you know, that just was a token. I mean,
no, it's not. That's crazy. No, you are so wrong.
John, I know he did some things, you know, for the franchise, but, you know, for him to sit here and say,
he played. He was in the locker room. You can't talk about a single player in recent Patriot history that sacrificed maybe more of his career than Troy Brown did. Hell, he went over and played defense because he wanted to do whatever it took for the team to have success. And that wasn't in his contract. They didn't ask him to do that. You're talking about a guy that knows that locker room and knows that coach and knows everybody involved here better than perhaps any other human being on the planet, save for Tom Brady.
Well, I understand all that, John. I mean, you know, no need to scream. I mean, I know, I understand, and I appreciate him as a player. I mean, but for him to, you know, to start this kind of controversy, man. And
it's not a controversy. There's no controversy. Yeah. It's thought-provoking. There's no controversy here. Because ultimately, the Crafts are going to do what the Crafts think is in their best interest. Their best interest is to maintain the value of the team and win a few championships along the way if they can do that. All I'm asking is do you agree or disagree with that particular decision?
Well, I disagree. I disagree that they're going to. Well, I don't even think this is even going to come up. I don't think that they're.
It already has, Trey. It already has.
Well, I'm talking about the actual meeting and conversation between, you know, the Crafts and Bill and Tom Brady sitting down and saying, well, look, Tom, I mean, we're going to go a different direction. I mean, because, man, Tom has a lot of football left now. And if you want to sit here and just be content with being relevant and being in the conversation instead of saying, okay, look, man, let's just go ahead on and get another one. Because, you know, Bill Blakely, I mean, Bill came out and said himself he's not going to try to coach until he's 70. I mean, right or wrong. I mean, now, this is something he said. Now, he said he's not going to coach until he's 70 years old, and he's almost dead.
Mm-hmm.
So, to sit here and say,
then why wouldn't you try to maximize the present and win now when you know you have a franchise Hall of Fame quarterback?
That's what I'm saying, John. I mean, I feel like before they let Brady get up out of here, they'll say, look, man, let's just mount up. Let's mount up. Let's put a lot of bullets in the chamber, man, and let's go.
All right, so you think
instead
then the clear
– he's just not going to play.
That's fine. Let's clarify. You believe that the Crafts would side with Brady over Belichick?
I'm not saying side with Brady over. What are we talking
Pick
about?
Pick a side. Pick a side, Trey. You can't stand on the fence. If you stand on the fence, you're going to get hit from both sides. Which side do you go with? That's the argument today.
Well, right now, if Brady has 2-3 years left on his contract, man, go with the quarterback. You're talking about 2-3 years.
Now, so do you think the Crafts would do that? It's a simple question. Do you think the Crafts would do that?
I think they would.
Okay. That's what I was driving at.
They would, John.
That,
why wouldn't you? I mean, if you don't do it, you're going to be looking like the coach.
That's the whole argument today. Why wouldn't you? That's the whole argument today, my friend. That's the whole argument. And Troy brought it up yesterday, and he thinks that the Crafts would go with Belichick. It's that simple. So my question was, do you agree with that, or do you think they would go with the quarterback? I happen to think that more of you would go with the quarterback. So you're actually a part of what I perceived as being a majority according to the audience that we have on this program.
Well, John, can I ask you this question?
Sure.
Do you think Jim Irsay would change his mind about us sending? He didn't think Peyton had anything left. That's probably why he's in rehab now. He lost his damn mind.
That's cold. You know, that actually is not a bad question. I don't know that he would change his mind because he's got another franchise quarterback in place, and the Colts are definitely in position to be competitive. So they went down for a year, and now they're right back up again. So I'm not so sure that they would change. I'm not so sure that he would change his mind. Thanks for the phone call, Trey. I'm going to move along here. Let's get Zach in Brockton up next. Zach, you're in the playbook.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Zach.
You know, I think that the owner of the Patriots, can't think of his name.
Mr. Kraft?
I think that he would side with Belichick only because you know, this is coming from, you know, two people that played, that been in the locker rooms with the Patriots, that been around Bill Belichick, and they're saying this, that being Aqib Talib and Troy Brown. And we've known that Belichick has had success with other quarterbacks besides Brady. You look at Matt Castle when he took over in whatever year that was, 2008, and led the team to 11-5. So I think that they would go more towards that direction, sticking with Belichick and, you know, just, you know, letting Brady have to go. And, you know, back to the whole, you know, personal groupings and stuff, and I tend to think that the Patriots, they give up on players too easily. And I don't know what y'all think about that, but, you know, we go back to, I bring it back to Brandon Lloyd in 2012. You know, there was reports that he, you know, he wasn't what the Patriots was looking for. But when I seen Brandon Lloyd perform, I seen a receiver who was a good one, you know, and I seen very few drops from him. And the drops that I did see from him, they were bad throws by Brady. But I seen a lot of acrobatic catches, you know, him diving during a Bills game and making a catch. And even this year when he's with the 49ers, you know, he looks to be very great. And he was a receiver that was averaging 12 yards for us a catch. And, you know, we let him go. And that was somebody that I had high hopes for. And then you go to Kimbrough Tompkins. That was another person I had high hopes for. And we let him go. So I just tend that we give up on receivers easily. And, you know, we give up on players that looks like they could have potential. But then we send them off somewhere else. And then they have good careers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what y'all's take is on that. But, yeah.
Well, I mean... You have to go with what, you know, past history has, you know, says, and they have a tendency to, you know, bring in, you know, veterans that, you know, have had something to prove, let's say, and try to develop them and get the most out of them, maximize their abilities. And then, they have also had a tendency to let guys go perhaps a little bit earlier than you or I would, but recognizing that they might have maxed out on their ability. I actually think that this is one of the things that Bill Belichick does very well in terms of his evaluation of veteran talent, that he actually knows when a good time, you know, to let somebody go. He's only had one player that I can think of after he's been cut loose from New England go on to make a Pro Bowl somewhere else, and that was Asante Samuel. So I think that Belichick's problem might be in identifying younger talent as opposed to veteran talent and the personnel currently within the NFL. I think that's his stronger suit rather than the younger evaluation. So they've had a pretty good track record where that's concerned. Question here is that whether or not, if you recognize that your window of opportunity with Tom Brady is short, do you decide to load up and go now, which potentially could end up mortgaging a little bit of your future? Or do you still trust your leader? You know, because you've trusted him for the past 15 years, and even though you recognize that this might not be the way you go, and it might be a few more years before you get back to this situation, that the window's running short on winning championships. People remember championships. They don't remember whether or not you were competitive. They remember whether you won. And so most fans that I know, Zach, are all about winning and winning now.
Yeah. Well, I like I already said, I would go with the coach. You know, I'm siding with the coach on this one. You know, like I said, we've known him to have success without Tom Brady, and we've seen a quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo who came in and filled in during that Kansas City game and went 7-for-7, and he spread the ball around beautifully, which that's something that we have not been seeing from Brady these first three games. So I'm going to side with the coach.
Okay. That's perfectly fair. I tend to believe, again, that the Crafts would eventually do that. Just trying to bring in the other side of the equation. Thanks, Zach. Appreciate the time today. Our buddy Eldridge in North Carolina. Thanks for hanging on, Eldridge.
How you doing, John?
Good, man.
All right, man?
Yeah.
You know who I'm siding with. I'm siding with my quarterback. And that guy before just got off the phone, you had one spurt with a rookie that you haven't seen play not one whole season yet at quarterback. Yes, Bill had some help with Castle. Castle been behind Brady for 5 years. It's time for him to know. He know the playbook. He know the play. Garoppolo don't know that. He's just a rookie coming in. That's one thing you got to get straight. And like I said before, if you don't put the talent around Brady like he is right now, you load him and go after him. Okay? I can name four teams right now who have like eight or nine coaches, 12 quarterbacks. I ain't found one yet. The Raiders, the Jaguars, and even can't think of the other team right now. But they don't have a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still searching, and they still are doing a revolving door for coaches and quarterbacks. So that quarterback is important. Yeah, Brady been there 15 years. Yes, you do this that way, but you ain't never gave Brady no weapons. Just for 1 year, 2007, 1 year. Brady always had Tonka toys. And he always been the unselfish, great patriot, you know, by cutting back whatever, not taking what everybody else taking, just going on with the flow. Always said the right thing, did the right thing. This time you owe him. You owe him.
Okay.
You owe him. And I
well,
think you are at least. One ride.
Sure, and you know, and Eldridge, I got to admit, that's one of the things that I love talking to you about because you've got plenty of passion, and I can understand. This is why I thought that there would be more like you feel this way. I'm a little surprised that we've got some coming out taking the side of the coach on this particular instance.
Me too.
The other instance, though, is that in this business, the NFL is just that, a business, and there really isn't anybody that you owe anything to. So, because players come and players go. Maybe Brady's one of those few that you might consider that for, but when you really look at it, the NFL is going to go long, long after Tom Brady has come and gone in this league. So, in terms of owing somebody, the best players, you know, in the league, while they spend their time here, they go to the Hall of Fame. And I think he's probably going to get there, and he's going to earn that. We're not going to give it to him. They're going to earn that. And I think that's generally the way that everything is looked at here, that nobody is going to really be given anything because that's just the very nature of the NFL.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, John. He earned it for 15 years. You owe him that because he earned it.
Again, you're wrong choice of words. They don't owe anything. If you feel like he's earned it, you have a right to say that.
Well, he earned it. Well,
okay.
He earned it.
Okay.
He earned it.
That's fair.
And Bill, let's look at this pattern. Like I said, yeah, he's been irrelevant for those years. But he always had one constant, Brady.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Him and Brady. All them suspect players that he got, and we still have. And like I said, right now, we're going to get tested Sunday. Just like we got tested against the Bengals, and we came out on top because everybody was fired up. Hope they come out fired up this time. But the Bills got a defensive line, like you said. They also got weapons on the offensive side, and Orton ain't no slouch.
Mm-hmm.
Orton ain't no slouch. And Revis, yes. But my thing is Arrington, the safety position, because Watkins, those tight ends, he got other receivers. And Jackson and Spiller, like I said, they know us. They know how to get over on us. So you got to look at that, too. But for this playoff matchup, no, his GM day's been over. You know, I know I'm saying drinking your own Kool-Aid, but sometimes it just makes you sick because sometimes you need to take another look, have another voice in there.
Sure.
Because the players you're drafting or the bridges you're trying to get, I don't understand. But, John, can you ask me one question?
Yeah.
Just one question.
Okay.
Okay. Elway went to the Super Bowl last year and saw what beat him. Saw how Seattle, man and his team, and what beat him. Okay. He went back loaded up. Everybody was giving $130 million calories out. They spent $220 million. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They spent that. All right. They played Seattle tough, but they lost, but they played them tough. Just like the Giants played us and came back and kicked us in the Super Bowl. Which one would you rather learn from? That instance right there, or keep going 15 years like you're going, and you just be relevant, but you don't have the big dance.
Well, you know, I want to win. And so I don't know.
That's my point.
Denver did all of that last year, didn't win. They loaded up this year, as you suggested. And admittedly, there are many pundits out there that really believe that Denver outplayed the Patriots in that regard in the offseason, that Denver did a better job of reloading as compared to New England. And it'd be hard to argue that point right now. I happen to tend to agree, but the jury is not completely out. You know, we see there's a glimmer of hope based on what we saw this past weekend against Cincinnati. So, you know, my bottom line is just win. And if you can't win, ultimately doing what you've done over the last 3 years, you've gone to AFC title games, you've gone to Super Bowl, you've come up short in all of them. Then what do you do? Then what do you do to get over the hump? And the only other answer is, I mean, do you stay the course to get back there again? Or do you actually maybe load up a little bit more to see if you can get over the hump? Now, I thought the Patriots made a move. Yes, of course. And I thought the Patriots made a move defensively for that. But I thought the Patriots underestimated what they had on offense in the line and whether or not Gronkowski was going to be in full strength coming back soon enough. I think they underestimated in both particular instances. And I think they overestimated the ability of their wide receivers.
I think so too, sir. But by keeping the ones that you got, and like I said before, they had a lot of chances to get young receivers. They had y'all a lot of chances to get some talent or veterans. Choose not to.
Right.
And that's under dictatorship Bill Belichick.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. It's not working.
All right. So you want another voice, and you would like, and you would rather have the Kraft side with Brady.
The quarterback.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
That's good stuff. Good stuff, Eldridge. I always appreciate your call. Our friend Kat in Chicago is up next in the playbook. Hi, Kat.
Hi, John. How are you doing?
I'm good. How's it going?
Good. I'm. I have been gone the past few weeks, but I think you should have. I don't know what you ended up naming Wednesdays, but I think you should have named it "Whipped into a Frenzy Wednesdays." that is what you do every Wednesday with these questions.
Thank you. Thank you.
Get everybody going.
I figured that, you know, WTF Wednesday was good enough for that.
That's true. I like that. I think like everybody else does. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people Kraft is a businessman. He's mm-hmm. a very good businessman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that because of that, he will always go with Belichick. I think he is sentimental about Tom Brady, but when you get down to it, he is going to go with Belichick because that's what's brought him success. He looks at Belichick, I believe, as being more of part of the company and the players as more commodities, which is what I think a lot of coaches and the NFL is structured that way. That's the way that you, you trade the players. They're a moving part of the team versus the coaching staff for many teams, not for all,
right.
Certainly as we've seen with the Raiders and other places. But typically the coaching staff's a little more solid. But I have to say, I'm not sure that's always the right decision. And you guys were just talking about the whole issue of player talent. And you said something that I really disagreed with, which is why I called.
Okay, go.
You were saying, you were making the point about what players have we let go that have gone to Pro Bowl. And that, to me, is totally the wrong way to look at this. The way that you have to look at it is, what players have we let go that then we've gone back and tried to fill those spots, and those players have gone on to actually play in other places? And I'll make the examples of Brandon Merriweather. I'll make the example of Patrick Chung. And I'll make the example of Darius Butler. All of them are secondary players. Darius Butler is playing in Indianapolis with the Colts. I watch him every week because my husband is a Colts fan. And I tell you what, he's playing a lot better there than he ever played for us. And Brandon Merriweather has been, I believe he's still with the Bears. He's been with them for quite some time.
No, he's with the Redskins.
Oh, well, he's with the Redskins now. He was with the Bears for some time now. You're right. He's with the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
And now Patrick Chung was away. He bounced around, and now he's back, and now he's playing for us again. But in the meantime, we've spent picks on people like Rozai Dowling and Tavon Wilson and Daron Harmon and Logan Ryan, and we keep trying to fill these spots that we've let people go from, who the people we're filling with aren't any better.
Yeah, you're kind of bringing up a different side of the argument, because what the Patriots have always tried to do, Kat, is find value. They don't want to pay. They don't want to keep guys as they get to top dollar, contractual situations. And that's a large reason why the Patriots let them go. Patriots generally say, well, we're letting them go because we think they've maximized their ability. And for the most part, with the exception of Samuel, they have actually been accurate with that. But in terms of finding value, that's what the Patriots have always been about. And you can certainly make the argument that it is a good way to go because it has allowed them to go and find better quality depth behind the guys that are on the front line. And it's that depth, once you get into November and December, that has allowed them to stay competitive for a long time in the NFL, longer than many, many teams really have a right to. Sometimes teams need to blow it up and build it up all over again. Patriots haven't had to do that because they've been, shall we say, calculating in their bringing in players of a certain financial worth.
Well, I would make the argument, though, that the way that they've done it also, what it means is that we're in the situation that we're in now, which is where we don't have a top-tier wide receiver. We've been spending all these picks at defensive back for years and years and years, and guess what? You know, that means that, you know, there are certainly pluses, but there are also a lot of minuses to this type of strategy. Mm-hmm. Even if they had kept one of those guys, I don't think that I find it hard to believe that even at the time, Patrick Chung or Merriweather or Darius Butler would have commanded an incredibly high salary to renew. But in the meantime, we've spent all of those picks, and you know, where's our receiving core? So I guess my point is I'm saying that I think that maybe letting a couple of those guys go and redrafting a couple more guys who work would be good. But when you just keep redrafting and redrafting and redrafting at the same position, it depletes you at other positions.
That's also true. And you can make a great argument for having a real lack of success at wide receiver. What is it? And I think I wrote about this week, two wide receivers since 2002 or 2003 that have gone on to any kind of career here in New England that were drafted, and that's Edelman and Branch. That's really it. That's it. Everything else they brought in has been via free agency.
The last time we drafted anybody at wide receiver before the seventh round, I think, was 2010, maybe.
Well, so, this is where, and again, my whole point this week was, in writing the column, my whole point was they need to allow the college scouts to have more of an influence here. Because if you're going to stay young, which it's clear this franchise wants to do to stay relevant, and they've done that over the last 2 years, they've grown from the second oldest team to the fifth youngest team in 2 years' time. That's a pretty good makeover in a short amount of time. So if you're going to commit to that, then you need to, you can't really afford to miss on too much young talent. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that the problem is that, excuse me, certain positions to get, everybody who calls in here wants a playmaker at wide receiver, and you're not going to draft a playmaker at wide receiver in the fourth round, in the fifth round, in the sixth.
True.
You might. It's like taking a shot in the dark. It's like drafting Tom Brady. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why Buffalo traded up to get Sammy Watkins this year.
Right.
Because they saw him as a playmaker. And Darrell Revis and the Patriots are about to find out how much of a playmaker he is.
Right. I just wish that I think it's one of the failings of Belichick at GM, and I just wish that it's a reason why I think that Robert Kraft will always go with Belichick, because if he hasn't called him out thus far for that,
he's not going to.
It's never going to happen.
Yeah. I tend to agree with that. I think your statement there is pretty much the way it really is, at least in my opinion. I know there are a lot that would disagree and say that he should side with Brady because Brady is owed, so to speak, as we've had a couple of callers already mentioned, but that's not how they look at things. That's just not how they look at it.
That's the sentimental side and Kraft's a businessman.
Yep. Totally agree. Good stuff, Kat.
Well, thanks, John.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Glad you're back in the fold here. Let's talk to Noel in Denver. Noel, you're next in the playbook.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good, Noel.
I'm good. Great. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I love Tom Brady. I mean, I always have, always will. I think he's the best quarterback in football. He was never given as many weapons as a lot of the other guys were, a la Peyton Manning. But, you know, business is business, and Kraft is going to go with Belichick. And the people that come in and complain about Bill's drafting and all of this, we live in an era where you have the salary cap, you're winning. I've been a Pats fan since 1968, so I'm almost 70 years old. So the thing is I've seen what we've had, and we can't, you know, you can't call for Jimmy Garoppolo and his, you know, because Tom had a couple of bad games. They're still learning. We've got new offensive linemen. We've got new receivers. And I really believe, after looking at last game, and I know one game isn't everything, but if you look at how these pieces are coming together, I think this is going to be a great year. Manning, look what he did his first year with the Colts. And you're looking to ask for Jimmy's G to come out and give us a great year? It ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. I don't think that they intended for that to happen this year. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo to be a significant factor this year at all. They want him to learn under Tom, but I don't think anybody planned on Tom having the struggles that he's had. So this might have allowed a different conversation to take place.
I still feel. I've watched Tom. I mean, I don't miss the game. I don't care. That's why I have DirecTV. But I watch him over again too, as well. And this, I really believe there is something physically or mentally wrong with Tom the first four games, whether it was because he felt bad about Mankins or whatever the reason was, something was going on and the chemistry wasn't there yet. I really believe that. And last year, let's face it, what other quarterback in the world could have put you where you went to last year? With all the injuries we had, no Gronk, I mean, we got Gronk, the greatest tight end. If they stay healthy, the defense stays healthy, I really believe we got a Super Bowl team.
Well, you're certainly an eternal optimist. I'll give you that, Noel. But this team's got a way to go before you can put the, as it's currently comprised, it's got a way to go in terms of showing us, you know, maybe we need to move to the state of Missouri here, showing us that they're a Super Bowl contender.
I
will say this. They took a big step last week, but now you got to take care of business in your division. It all starts in the division. And so the natural extension for most fans is going to be, all right, well, they beat up Cincinnati, then they'll have no problem with Buffalo. And that's not the case. It's going to be very emotional in Buffalo. It'll be their first game under new leadership, new ownership, because that new ownership change for the Pegula, I may be pronouncing it wrong, it was approved by owners today. So this will be their first official game under ownership other than someone than Ralph Wilson and his family. So there will be some emotion at Ralph Wilson Stadium on Sunday. And, of course, the Patriots have lost there before, and they've lost in spectacular fashion. Now, largely over the last decade, they've dominated Buffalo. But now the Bills, I think, see a crack. They see an opening. The door is ajar. And they know that if they're going to take advantage of it and be a contender, this is their opportunity. And that's why I think this sets up to be a pretty doggone good football game on Sunday, because both teams see this as an opportunity. The Patriots to reassert themselves, the Bills to say, this is more than just a one-way street.
No question, John. And I'm not naive enough to think it isn't difficult to win in the NFL. I love the NFL football. I know how hard it is to win in the NFL football. And I just hope they hold on to Tom until the natural progression takes place. He lives his life throughout with the Patriots. But if you're a businessman and you're going to make a business decision, you have to go with Belichick. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and I ultimately believe, as I've suggested a couple of times already, Noel, that is the case. The business decision would have them siding with the coach over the player here in this. If push came to shove and they had to make a decision, you know, one or the other, we got to go this way or that way, they're going to go the side of Belichick.
Well, hopefully we can take our emotion on the Buffalo and win this weekend. And thanks for taking my call, John. I love your show.
Noel, thank you for taking the time to make us a part of your day today. Let me get in some emails here because we got a ton of them. And I appreciate those of you that took the time to answer. And I've got some Facebook posts, got some tweets that I want to share as well. Faith sent this on Twitter. Mr. Kraft more likely to stick with BB, Belichick. Bet his son would be cheerleading at same time for Tom's value. Yeah, that's interesting. It might very well be that internally in the Kraft family, one might go with the coach and the other one might side for the player. I certainly think I could understand that if that happened. Knowing where everybody has fallen on that side of the stick over the course of the last decade plus, 15 years at least, since Bill Belichick has been in control here. On Facebook, Jose says, about GM coach Bill, I don't think the Kraft family will part ways with him until you see a dramatic change in the team's performance, like missing the playoffs consecutive years. But I also feel Brady is too important to the equation. He means a lot to the Kraft family, and he said himself that he wants to retire a Patriot, and I think they will do anything for that to happen. You know, I think in a perfect world, let's put a little parenthesis around that. In a perfect world, they will do anything for him to retire a Patriot. But as we all know, this is not a perfect world, and the NFL is not a perfect world. And because of that, if they're forced to make a decision one way or the other, and as we've already had suggested on the program today, you know, Belichick may be far enough along in his career to say, look, if you're going to make me change things from the way I'm doing them, I'm not interested in being here anymore. That could happen. And then you really do have to choose sides. I don't think the Krafts want to do that, which is why I think they tend to stay the course. And I think they would stay the course here. Yeah, he'd like to retire a Patriot. But again, he's only going to retire a Patriot if the circumstances allow him to. Circumstances, and I've got quotations around that word, they change. They change all the time. Jose sending me that post from California. And thank you for that. All right, let's get to some of these emails here. Some good stuff this afternoon as well, as I mentioned. Some of you have taken some time here to give some good thoughts. Sean in New Hampshire says, this is like the David Lee Roth versus Van Halen argument in 1985. I like that. That's good. Roth, TB12. Van Halen, Belichick. That's actually a pretty good analogy. I sided with Van Halen back then, but I still loved Roth. But in this case, I side with Roth. Bill, the GM, has been messing up for a lot longer than TB12 has. Bill would get run out of town. Kraft couldn't possibly side with Bill. All things come to an end, but in Kraft I trust when it comes down to it. Best team in the NFL since 1994. The Krafts will hire the next best coach in the league and a real GM before TB12 gets his walking papers. I assume that's a prediction, Sean. They have done it twice already. Bill doesn't have that kind of power. Ooh. All right, interesting perspective. Interesting perspective. That's what I was looking for. Good stuff. Clay from Foster, Rhode Island says, John, WTF, what's the focus Wednesday? That could be, who's the fall guy? That's also a pretty good choice there. Last week it was Brady till Sunday night. We'll see who's next. As far as the Kraft-Belichick-Brady conversation goes, I think it's a moot point until something happens. I think Brady and Belichick will be here for the next 2 or 3 years at least. Just my opinion. You know, Clay, that could very well be the case. But I tend to believe, based on the struggles we've seen this year, that maybe a decision one way or the other is made sooner rather than later. Chad from the ATL. He says, fire Bill, promote Josh to head coach, move Garoppolo to quarterback, make Brady new offensive coordinator, get a new GM. P.S. Not a serious email. But Chad, couldn't you just feel listeners' blood beginning to boil on the first couple of lines? Promote Josh to head coach. Oh, that's good. I like it. Oh, so we got some clever boys here today and girls. John, this is Matt from Rochester. I was wondering what your thoughts were on the trade rumors surrounding Larry Fitzgerald potentially being traded to the Patriots before the trade deadline coming later this month. I think Fitzgerald's one of the best wide receivers in the league, would be a deep threat we so drastically lacked at this point. I know we normally don't spend the big money the Fitzgerald contract demands, but I think it would be wise to give Brady what he's been needing since Moss. Thanks for your opinions and insight. Keep up the good work. Listen, Matt, I would love that to happen. Who wouldn't love that to happen? Two things, though. Number one, the Cardinals, last I looked, they're very much in contention. So I don't think they're going to give up a huge offensive piece to the puzzle, you know, when they're in a tooth and nail, you know, fight with, San Francisco and Seattle. I just don't see, I don't think that would ever happen. Now, if they really feel like monetarily that they're in a bind, I think you'd have to give up too much to get a guy like that. They'd be looking for, you know, a one and a couple of players or, you know, listen, if you could make that work, I'm all for it. I don't think it works. And I don't think it'll work for the Patriots. I'd love to see it, though, because, boy, that would shut a lot of people up around here, wouldn't it? Shut all of us up. It's like, all right, go out and play. You got Larry Fitzgerald to throw to now. No excuses. No excuses at all. Debbie in Tennessee. I'm devoted to TB12, so I would, in a perfect world, love to see him stay and retire from New England. If he goes somewhere else, I will support him wherever that is. But I would also follow and keep up with the Pats primarily through web radio at Pats.com. You and the PFW guys. Thank you, Debbie. When Tom retires, I hope he might work on the Pats organization. I did read he and Giselle built their new home in Brookline near the Kraft home. I wouldn't give up the Pats or Brady, but follow both. It's like picking your favorite Beatle, John, Paul, George, or Ringo. I don't know anybody, Debbie, with all due respect, that has Ringo as their favorite Beatle. Do you? Anybody? Anybody at all have Ringo as their favorite Beatle? No. Nope, that ain't happening. John, Paul, or George? Yeah. And probably closer to John or Paul. But Ringo? Ah. And that's with all due respect. I like Ringo Starr. He was what he was. He was a decent drummer, you know, and he was cannon fodder for the other guys. But, you know, he certainly certainly kind of outlived them all just about, except for John, hadn't he? Except for Paul. So, well. Another discussion for another day. John in South Carolina. To the poor caller that was upset because bad fans were called out. I have no problem with critical fans. Be critical, just be accurate about your critique. Those who were saying Brady was done, wanted to bring on Jimmy, are so far off, they deserve to be harassed. One, because Jimmy is in no way ready to quarterback an NFL team because he never had a playbook before. And two, Brady's line did such a bad job protecting him, you couldn't make an accurate evaluation of Brady's play. Anyone who called for Jimmy was overreacting and should be treated so. Meanwhile, since I live in South Carolina, I came to work Tuesday to harassment about Brady's time, about how Brady's time was done. BB ruined the team, even to the point where people put sticky notes on the Patriots bumper sticker on my car, saying how bad the Patriots suck. So Mr. Sensitive Critical Fan can shut up. If he wanted Jimmy to replace Brady, then he's a moron. If he was unhappy with the team, he's not a bad fan, and my comment was not directed at him. Toughen up, Buttercup. Okay, fair enough. Good stuff, John, in South Carolina. And by the way, your friends who work with you in South Carolina are also overreacting, as 43-17 Sunday night would indicate to the rest of the real world. Let's see. This one comes from, God, he didn't give his name here, Matos 20. I think they will stick the GM with GM Bill as long as we are competing for a Super Bowl. But I think once Brady got fed up and opened his mouth, I think the Crafts will do what they can to make him happy. They don't want Brady to leave. It's too precious of a relationship. Not an easy choice either way, Brady or Bill. Without either one, I don't know if they have three rings. And see, that's a good point. Without either one, do they have the three rings they already have? I'm not sure about that. Not sure about it. Once you see the Patriots miss the playoffs and not make the noise in the playoffs, then maybe I can see Kraft making a move in coaching. But until then, nothing will change. They'll stick to Bill's way because it's worked for so many years. Okay, good email. Brian in Essex, Vermont. I honestly think the Krafts will side with Bill for a very simple reason. It's a win-win for them no matter what Bill chooses. If they sell high on Brady and get a mountain of resources for him in return, it almost assures that the organization will be in a healthy position moving forward into the post-Brady era. If Bill elects to keep Brady because they have Jimmy G and he's got confidence in his abilities moving forward and Brady retiring as a Patriot, I mean, well, just imagine how that final year will go down. Imagine the fanfare Boston, New England would, nay, will put forth, which is something I feel Pats fans in the organization deserve. You know, that kind of brings up another point, Brian. Do we really want to go through a quote-unquote farewell tour like Derek Jeter just finished up with the New York Yankees? I don't know. You know, that's a lot of distraction. And I realize that, you know, the Patriots handle distraction as well as any franchise in professional sports handles distraction. And they've proven that time and time again. But do you really think that they'll do that? Do you really think that's in Tom's character to do sort of a farewell tour? This is my last year of my contract? No. See, I don't think we'll ever get to that. If he lasts to the end of his current contract and something isn't done about it before then, my guess is that he's going to think he can still play and that we won't see any sort of renegotiation or any kind of movement until after the contract is done. I don't think you'll ever see Tom Brady say, all right, this is the last year of my deal. I'm ready to step down at age 40. You know, turning 41. I don't think you'll see that. Brian says, I guess I just feel like there's no downside going BB's route because I trust in his judgment. Whereas if you shut down the possibility of a trade, you run the risk of being able to land something you can't refuse. You know what I'm saying? Just imagine the dream trade for Brady and add two young Pro Bowl level players. Like, what if Texas were to offer Clowney and Watt and two firsts for Brady? Yeah, that's insanity, but would you turn it down? No, you wouldn't, and that's a good point, which is why you always got to keep your cards close to the vest. I mean, if someone's going to offer you, you know, two ones and a Pro Bowl caliber player, are you really going to think about not making that deal? No, you're going to make that deal. Good thought-provoking email there, Brian. Pete in Augusta, Maine says, if Brady does well from here on out, this isn't even an issue. If he stinks the place up, he will be traded. If they go 8-8, it'll be a tough decision for the Krafts. Bottom line is two things. Number one, his protection. Number two is his accuracy. Watch his accuracy very closely from here on out. Well, the last thing you say there, Pete, is very true. But if he stinks the place up, what makes you think that his trade value will still be high? Certainly his trade value won't be as high as it would be if he were successful, right? See, I'm of the argument that if the Patriots actually finish strong here, and let's say they win the division and they get back into the playoffs, but they fall short again as they've done each of the last 3 years. You know, let's say they fall short again in an AFC championship game and they lose it in Denver or what have you. Let's say they fall short. I would argue that Brady's trade value will never be higher than what it would be, because he would still show that he can play given the right set of circumstances. And if you put more around him than what the Patriots put around him this year, doesn't it stand to reason that in the next year or two, he could still lead a team to a championship? Somebody's going to think that. Now, Oakland might not think that, but I had a caller suggest Arizona. I mean, if they, you know, are all done with Carson Palmer, and I'm not so sure that's the case. Or the Houston Texans are a great example. You think Tom wouldn't mind going to play for Bill O'Brien in Houston? I don't think he'd mind that at all. And I think Houston would absolutely fall all over themselves, which is why I'm glad that, you know, Brian in the previous email mentioned the Texans, because I think that that might very well be the most likely landing place in a trade. It would be Houston right now, because they are looking for something like that, and they feel, I'm sure, that Tom would be the guy that could take them and put them over the top. He'd have a running back, he'd have great receivers, he'd have a solid tight end, and he's got a young, talented defense. I mean, if I'm Houston, I'm making the phone call to New England. If I'm Houston, I'm making the phone call. Alina from Long Beach, California. John, in my opinion, winning Bill's way is much more impressive than the other way. What I mean is, winning with top players in the league is great, but taking players who don't seem special and coaching them into being Super Bowl champs is what Bill is all about. I think if they get it done this year or in the next few years, Bill will go down in the NFL history as a legend. And I think he still very much believes in Tom, because while some might think Tom is a rare exception, you know, the round six pick superstar, in Bill's eyes, he's the symbol of his philosophy on football, which is you don't have to spend a lot of money and top round picks to get players who can take you all the way to the Super Bowl and win it. I mean, look at how close we get every year. We didn't have the talent, that wouldn't happen. What if last year we didn't have all those injuries? I truly believe we could have won. And I believe this year we have so much more. These players will blossom. I think they will surprise everyone. We just have to wait and see. All right, Alina, that's a good email. I see your points. Max in San Diego. John, I'm tired of all the talk about TB12 just finishing his contract and moving on or getting traded or cut. Pump the friggin' brakes for a second. Fact, Brady isn't going anywhere. Fact, Bill isn't going anywhere. Think of it like this. If you're a human male, you can't have children without mating with a human female, right? Careful now, Max. So make that into what works for the Patriots. Tom Brady, regardless of the carnival barkers and Fairweather fans calling for his head over one game, plus Bill Belichick and an understanding of the arms race that is between us and Denver, equals Super Bowl rings. Okay, I think I understand what you're saying. Tom Brady, regardless of the yappers, plus Bill Belichick equals Super Bowl rings. Well, that is the case in the past, but Max, it hasn't happened now in almost 11 years. So how are we going to make it happen again before time is up? He says Brady is not going anywhere till either Manning retires or he damn well decides to, and is not going to be at the end or before his contract ends. Mark my words. Thank you, Max. Passionate fan. Gabe in Newtown, Pennsylvania. John, this is a tough subject. Unlike any other player that has been let go, I think if they did that to Tom, Pat's Nation would revolt and put a guillotine up in place of the lighthouse. Okay, now I'm a homer, and my tendentious answer shows it. Oh, do we have a buzzer or a bell or something like that we could use for that, Kevin? Somebody actually used Eric's word of the day.
Really?
Yeah, in the email. That's a good job. That's a good job, Gabe. I think that may be a first for this program. I'm a homer, and my tendentious answer shows it. For everything the guy has done, why not let him go out as a Patriot? Now, I say that because if they really did want to rack up another Super Bowl in the Brady-Bill era, they would have gone all in and not leave a $13 million cap space left. Isn't that telling us something? It's going to be coach's choice. He has earned that. I'll leave you with this. The coach and Tom are like peanut butter and jelly. By themselves, they're good, but together they're perfect. It was why Bill kept four quarterbacks on the 99 roster, because he saw that Tom had the it factor, and those guys only come along once in a blue moon. Okay. Well, that may very well be, Gabe. I'm not so sure he saw that he had the it factor, but I know he was intrigued enough back in 99 to keep, you know, the sixth-round draft pick out of Michigan around. And I'm not so sure that I haven't seen that comparison before. Tom and Bill are like peanut butter and jelly. By themselves, they're good, but together, they're perfect. That's probably been used before. I'm not sure. But it's a good one anyway. It works here. All right. Good stuff out of you, Gabe. this was a message from John in South Carolina on the guy that was our friend. I think it was Troy in Memphis, who was ragging on Troy Brown a little while ago. And he says, lose that guy. Why the hell would this caller think he knows more about the Patriots than Troy Brown? Hang up on that guy. Rook, go get him. Well, I didn't have to. Trying to be, you know, and I wasn't yelling at him either. I'm just trying to make him understand, all right, you better have a little depth of knowledge for your passion of the Patriots here and understand that Troy Brown, for a lot of people, was Mr. Patriot. Tom Brady is Mr. Patriot now, but before, you know, that, you'd have to say Troy was right there. I mean, he literally did everything that this franchise asked him to do, and he excelled at everything this franchise asked him to do. And he absolutely deserves his place in the Patriots Hall of Fame. Without a doubt, without question, there's nothing to it. He's as Mr. Patriot as Teddy Bruschi, as anybody that's in the Hall. And that it goes all the way back to 1960, with all due respect to the players who have come before these. We're talking about something that's, you know, 55 years in the making, this franchise. And Troy's importance to this team is as important as anyone's, I would argue. Steve in Killeen, Texas says, John, my take on this is you do your best by Brady with an eye for the future. Get the pieces now to help the current and future quarterback win. BB has had the ability to build teams that exceed expectations while not having marquee names up and down the roster. That has been what has been the most impressive part of the Patriots' run of greatness. As the owner, I know players' careers are short, so what I want is consistency, and I get that with my head coach GM. To steal Bill's line, we're going to do what is best for the team. Implied in that statement is team over player, even if that player is Pro Bowl and Hall of Fame worthy. Okay. I you know what? I agree and I understand, but I'm a little surprised. I don't think I'm taken back, but I'm a little surprised that we haven't had more on Brady's side of this particular argument. Maybe I underestimated the audience, or at least the responders to the question. I realize this is not a scientific poll, but I'm getting the impression that a lot of you are finally catching on to the, you know, Emperor Belichick routine here, and that, you know, you kind of like the 15 years of being relevant as opposed to, you know, winning a Super Bowl and maybe going 6-10, you know, for a couple of years before you get back in the dance. Well, the Patriots haven't had to drop that far based on the way they've gone about their business. It is pretty hard to argue. And I, too, just like you, or like many fans anyway, get frustrated when you see the opportunity, and yet they're not, it's not carpe diem. It's not seize the day. They stay the course rather than seize the day. And I understand the frustration with that because you think, oh, man, there could be another one. And like I said earlier, and I will still maintain this, you remember championships. Legacies are built on championships, not on relevancy. Legacies are built on championships. Now, somebody opining for Grantland.com or somebody like that, you know, or Charlie Pierce, who I respect him immensely as a writer, currently writes for Esquire and used to write for the Boston Herald, and he's as witty and as clever and talented a writer as I've come across in many, many days. But it would take somebody of his ilk, if you will, to recognize the fact that, you know, the Patriots are still, I think, a dynasty, and I don't think I have to explain that to you as a fan, because if you're listening now, you still think the Patriots are in their dynasty. And you can certainly make a good argument for that based on their relevancy, their success, the fact that they've been in the playoffs and they've won 10 out of the last 11 AFC East championships. You can still make a legitimate argument that the dynasty hasn't over. Kind of like that phone caller to the Paul Feinbaum show. Did you guys hear that on social media? the caller to Paul Feinbaum show on SEC Network. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That was one of the all-time great, great rants on Sports Talk and Sports Talk Radio. We get a chance here before the show's over. We'll play that for you. It's a day old, I know, but if you haven't heard it, it's tremendous. All right. John in South Carolina checks in again. He says, Rooker, your caller's always this clueless about players. Brandon Lloyd didn't have a lot of drops. With the Patriots, he had 74 catches for 130 targets. So as he's saying, 56 passes were all Brady being wrong. I miss having him here. So we can't use that drop as much.
Lloyd!
Thank you. Brandon Lloyd stunk. Through his career, he's caught 50% of the passes thrown at him. Hard to argue with that. Luke says, John, right now to me, that is the best lineup at offensive line, but I would switch Connolly and Wendell positions because Connolly is the starting right guard since 2012. What are your thoughts? I don't want to mess up the karma. If they had a good game where they were last week, I'd keep them where they are. Plus, that just adds to their overall versatility playing different spots in the line. He also says, other point, look back at the archives about the window closing on Brady. It's been going on since 2012. 37 years old is not old, and if some biased opinions consider him old, well, then Peyton Manning needs to retire. Let's focus on Week 5 instead. We are, Luke, but we got 2 hours to fill here, buddy. So how much can you X and O, pal? I'm just saying, there's a little bit more to X's and O's. Rob in Ormond Beach, Florida. WTF, Buffalo, red zone, penalties. Buffalo is another AFC East team built on defense to beat this offense. They can easily rush 4, drop 7 into coverage, so limiting offensive penalties is a must. First 20, second and 13 will make Sunday very difficult. Have to stay on schedule, so they run. I hope they do. They do need to continue to run the ball. When in the red zone, they can't kick field goals. Love how good Gostkowski's playing, but let's give him a week off to focus on kickoffs. I hope to see the bigger receivers on the field with Edelman, Dobson, LaFell, Gronk. I see what he's saying. Edelman, Dobson, LaFell, Edelman, Gronk. You're putting Edelman in there twice. Oh, my goodness. Rob. All right, as far as Amendola, while many fans are down on him, I can't even make sense of what you're saying here. Move on to the next one. JB in Virginia. John, what we have here with fans like Trey, as the same age as you are, there are pretty much two groups of fans, the older 20th century and newer 21st century fans. The older group remembers the hard times and have seen quarterbacks come and go. The newer fans only have known Tom. And it seems most think all the success is because of him and all the credit goes to him. It takes a team to win championships, not an individual. These people that think Tom at this point in his career is more important than Belichick don't go back and watch much tape of those games. Any fan that asks the question, who is Troy Brown, obviously doesn't know much about the Pats as a team. It's men like him that are the reason we have 3 Super Bowl trophies. The fact is Tom Brady has issues with accuracy outside the numbers and over 20 yards downfield. The stats in the film prove it. It doesn't matter who the receiver is if Tom can't get the ball to him. Thankfully, Mr. Kraft, as he said in the past, hires good people to run his businesses and lets them do it. Brady's time in Foxborough is coming to an end. Bill Belichick is going nowhere unless he wants to. JB, that's a good email. That's a very good email. Let's go to Maurice in Charleston, South Carolina. Thanks for hanging on, Maurice. You're in the playbook. Maurice, you there?
Yeah, how you doing, John?
I'm good, buddy. What's up?
In my opinion, I would stay with Brady, but in the perfect world, they're going to choose Bill Belichick. How do you think about them making a trade for Justin Tuck with the Raiders?
Well, I've always liked Justin Tuck. I liked him when he was with the Giants because he certainly wreaked havoc, on the Patriots' offensive line in those 2 Super Bowls, didn't he? So,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, if they really feel like they need that, if they've, and they feel like he can be had for pennies on the dollar, again, let me stress, pennies on the dollar, I think I'd be in favor of that.
Well, because Rob Ninkovich, if he's not getting pressure on his side, it makes it very difficult for Chandler Jones. I mean, Chandler Jones, he still can't handle a double team yet. So if Ninkovich is not getting any pressure, then Chandler Jones is not going to have a good day. So
Well, I don't. Sure, and I don't disagree with that. But I hate to get into too many hypotheses because you don't know what the contractual or the money situation is, and we do know what the track record is for making deals like that here and bringing in extra money. Now they do have room in the cap for this year, but as I understand it, they're also trying to save a little bit because they have a couple of guys named McCourty and some guy named Rivas that I think they'd like to entertain the thought of re-signing them for next year.
Yeah, one more thing before I get off the line. Back to the conversation about Belichick and Brady.
Yeah.
If the fans say, if the fans choose Brady and they give Robert Kraft an ultimatum, the games are already paid for this year. So assuming next year the fans say they'll boycott two games, meaning they won't buy any tickets because Robert Kraft afford that, did not have people come to the game.
Well, but you know what, though? That will never happen here. And the reason why it will never happen, and I mean, you don't say never about too many things because that's absolute. That will never happen here because there's 70,000 people on the wait list for tickets.
Yeah. All right. So that answers my question.
Well, but I understand your point. But, if 20,000 people boycotted, guess what? There's 20,000 people ready to step up and grab their seats.
All right. Well, that answers the question right there. I just wanted to know if the fans boycott the game, would that hurt Robert Kraft's wallet? So I guess.
Well, yeah, in theory it would, but the problem is they've done a good enough job of protecting that wallet.
All right. All right. Thanks, John.
Maurice, thank you for the phone call. Here's our buddy Steve in Killeen. Hi, Steve.
Hey, John. Just to digress for a moment, I'm looking forward to Miss Robin's recipe.
And, yep, you'll find it on the lifestyle page here on Patriots.com very soon.
And to answer your question, yes, fried sweet tea is on the menu for the Texas State.
How do you fry sweet tea?
I sent you an email that will explain all that, John.
Okay, thank you.
What you do is you put it in the custard, you wrap the custard in some graham cracker crust, and you fry it up, my friend.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually more like a fried custard ball of sweet tea.
Correct.
Okay, got it. All right. Well, I'm glad you did bring that up because for the uninitiated, this is the Texas State Fair Week, you being in Texas and being Texas Oklahoma Week, and I'm proud to wear my Longhorn Burnt Orange today, even though I think strippers is going to get me this year. But I thought that last year, and Colt McCoy's little brother beat his vaunted Sooners, and there's really no more of an embarrassment than that.
Yeah, the rumble for Red River continues, my friend.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Steve, thanks, buddy. How you feeling, by the way? You okay?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Actually, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu training is going well, John. And
good.
The kiddo is doing what it needs to do, and I've been feeling great. Especially, looking forward to releasing the Kraken on the bill.
Nice, nice. I like it. All right, that's definitely going to have to be the hashtag for tomorrow. Release the Kraken. Oh, goodness. I'm still not sure I get it, but okay, I get it. Howard in Stratford, Connecticut. This has been the question surrounding Brady his entire career, and as usual, the answer lies somewhere in the middle. I think the combination of Brady's drive and will to succeed, combined with BB's system program, melded together to create the successful head coach quarterback team that they have become. I don't know that if Brady goes to a different team that he is as successful as he has been. Nor do I know that if BB doesn't go with Brady over Bledsoe, that he wins as many championships, or any championships. In this case, the whole is greater than the individual parts. With all that said, Mr. Kraft is a businessman. Businessmen install programs to manage companies. That said, I believe he would always side with BB simply because his system has been so successful since 2001. What other team over that same period has been to 5 Super Bowls, won 3, been to as many title games, and won as many division titles as his team? None. Now, yes, Brady plays a big part in that, no doubt, but Brady isn't replaceable. No player is. When Brady went down with a knee injury, in the first quarter of the first game, they inserted a QB into the system who hadn't started a game since high school, only went 11-5, talking about Matt Castle. Now that same quarterback goes off, tries his hand as a starter, and isn't successful in other systems. Until the system fails the Patriots, I believe the Krafts will always side with Belichick. Probably, again, that seems to be the majority rule here in our unscientific poll on the program today. Aaron says, Rook, I've always figured that Tom would retire a Pat, and when he does, Bill would follow him out the door. I know that Bill doesn't want to coach at 70, nor does it seem like he wants to coach up another quarterback. Brady's his guy. That's my take anyway. Thoughts? I think Bill will coach as long as he feels like he's got the energy to coach and as long as he feels like the Crafts allow him the opportunity to do it his way. Which is why if the Crafts came in and said, we want you to be a little bit more, I guess, receptive to changing things up, you might see Bill a little bit more willing to decide to step away. Now, that is why I don't think the Crafts would meddle, and I think they would ultimately side with Belichick over Brady if push came to shove, and they had to make a choice over one or the other. That has been the question today. Oh, Dan in San Antonio says, John, please put some WD-40 on your chair. I keep hearing it squeak all program long. Could that be this? Is that what you're talking about, Dan?
Could very well be the mic stand.
Yeah, that's what I think it is. It's the mic stand. Usually I remember to hit the like that and cut myself off if I have to adjust the microphone.
You're not a big coffer, though.
No, I'm not. Do like coffee, though. Hi, Bob.
Hello, John.
I'm sorry to catch you by surprise there. I didn't feel like I'd done a lot of squeaking today, but I guess I had. My apologies, Dan in San Antonio. All right, what's coming up?
We've got Patrick Chung, Patriots safety, of course, and his second stint with the team. Talk a little bit about this weekend's game with Buffalo with Patrick, but also going to talk a lot about his foundation and his interest in the arts and reaching out to area youngsters with music in particular. Scott Zolak will be with me, of course, my partner on Patriot Broadcast, Jackie Britton, my partner on Patriots.com, and we'll visit with my counterpart from the Bills, John Murphy. Obviously, an eventful day in the history of that franchise. First time in 55 years, the Buffalo Bills are owned by someone other than Ralph Wilson or the Wilson Family Trust, with Terry Pegula being approved today as the owner of the Bills. And, of course, a watershed game for the franchise Sunday reopener, they're saying, as the Bills take on the Patriots with the two teams tied atop the AFC East.
I think that's a great point. And I mentioned this earlier in the show today. I do think that there will be a good amount of momentum and energy on the side of the Bills because it'll be their first game under the Pegula ownership and without someone from the Wilson family, you know, heading up that franchise. And, of course, it goes way back, just like the Patriots have gone way back to the 1960s. So I do think that it'll be a special moment for them, and the Patriots will be up against it.
Yeah, and they've got a good team, John. You know, you look at the change of quarterback in Kyle Orton, and if they can get him to produce even remotely as well as he did in the second half against Detroit, protect the ball and spread it out as he did, completing passes to 10 different receivers, there's a lot of talent on that team at the skill positions, and they're getting protection from their offensive line. And the area where the defense struggled last year against the run, Buffalo has been very stout thus far. They get to the quarterback, they get a lot of interceptions, and it's a team that is playing with a lot of confidence right now. They've beaten Chicago and Detroit, two high-powered teams, and done it by really shutting those two teams down in the second half.
Be a challenge for the Patriots offensively, no question. All right, Bob, coming up in a moment, let me end up here with two quick posts on Facebook. Donald says, or excuse me, this is Nick in Vegas who says, I've been watching sports a long time. Belichick is the greatest coach of anything in my lifetime, all sports. Two Super Bowl losses were unlikely, and the first an absolute borderline miracle. He's a genius. His teams are almost always the best prepared on a game-in, game-out basis. Brady is an all-time elite as well, but Bill's way is too good to mess with. And then Kyle says, that's a really tough question, John. It's like asking to choose between your dad and your brother. My brain says choose BB. The system will keep rolling post TB12. My heart says let TB12 retire on his own terms. I grew up with Brady. I want to see him go into the Hall of Fame as an untainted Pat, even if that means a losing season or two along the way. Great comments today, everybody. Thank you very much for your thoughts. They're heartfelt. Super emails, great phone calls, super participation. Thank you very much. Bob Sosie's show is coming up next. Playbook tomorrow afternoon. Help me out here, Kev. He's staring up at the monitor. Tomorrow in the playbook?
Sorry, you told me. Looking at this
reporter.
It was what you were talking about, the Rusty Harden thing.
Oh, yeah.
We're on the trial.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't heard it yet, and I just turned it on.
Oh, okay. All right.
I had this is the first time I've heard it today. Tomorrow, right. Tim Graham.
Yes, thank you.
Buffalo News.
Yes.
And then Mike Rodak.
Of ESPN, and he's the Buffalo Bills beat reporter for ESPN.com. So Mike Rodak and Tim Graham tomorrow in the playbook, along with the one and only Russell Baxter. All right. Bob's coming up next. See you tomorrow.
Tuesday through Thursday. Hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.